Hallelujah. Jesus was returning from one of his like extra kind of amazing encounters. And this was the one on the mountaintop. Just before we get into this scripture, he's at the mount, and it's the Mount of Transfiguration. And he's had this encounter. He's now glowing white with light. He is radiating glory as he comes down this mountain. He's had an epic experience. Has anyone ever encountered Jesus where they've been transformed, transfixed? There's something different about you. Somebody notices. They say, where have you been? Who have you been with? That's the kind of lifestyle we're supposed to have, you know. When we've been in that secret place with him, we're supposed to glow a bit in the spirit, you know. And people will come up to you, and they probably do already. They say, there's something about you. Has anyone here had someone come up to them and just randomly said, there's something about you? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Honestly, you should all look around, because it's happening. And the spirit of the Lord does that. That's who he is. And we're different, and we're set apart, and people notice there's just something different, especially if they know your story. You want to let people into your story as much as you can, because when they see the way that you glide through life and you have the same amount of troubles, the same kind of ups and downs, but there's a peace about you, right? And they say, how do you do that? There's something about you. Well, Jesus came down off this mountain, and anybody who met him would have known he's just encountered something radical. He was glowing white as light, and he's just met Moses and Elijah on the mountaintop. Do you know what I mean? And I don't know if any of you have ever had that experience. I haven't, but I can imagine I'd have come skipping down that mountain. And gloriously, he was showing to the world that he's now fulfilled the prophets and the law. He's done all of that, and he's come down the mountain. This is an experience. This is an encounter. This is time-shifting, changing. This is massive. This is mammoth. But as he comes down the mountain, just in the same way when Moses came down the mountain in the book of Exodus, having had an encounter with God, he comes down the mountain, and similarly, they don't come down to a bunch of people who are ready, who are aware, who are awakened. No, they come down and they're met with a rebellion, they're met with chaotic faith, they're met with people who are just messy, who should know better, and Jesus comes back to the mess and spiritual confusion. I don't know about you, but when you've had a spiritual high, so often there's this real crashing reality straight after. It might not be as graphic as that, but I remember, for instance, years ago, I'd been at this a meeting, and I've spoken about it many times because I wrote a song about it. But I remember it was an incredible encounter with the Lord. And it lasted for 2 hours, and all the way home on the 406, and then for another hour outside my house. And I went in, and I was shaking, and I was full of the Holy Spirit. I've never had an encounter like that before or since, but it was profound. And I got in, and I went, Shaq. I mean, bearing in mind, it was 2 a.m. I said, Shaq. And he went, go to sleep. And then in the morning, I couldn't wait to tell him, and it was like, what's for breakfast? And then I'm trying to tell my kids, and it's like, Mum, where's my uniform? You know, it's just like, oh, come on, guys. Have you ever, like, you know, you've been to see a really good film, and you come home, and they just say, I'm not interested in Marvel, not interested. And it's like, I bet that's for Glenn. Glenn comes home, he's seen a really good film with Rachel. He comes home, and he wants to talk about it with Jill. Totally nonplussed, right? Yeah, absolutely nonplussed. What can you do? You have these spiritual highs and then these crashing reality checks. And I think that's what Jesus was experiencing in that moment. It didn't affect him because he's Jesus. But sometimes we withdraw to these kind of mountain experiences. We withdraw from people and our surroundings, our circumstances, just like Jesus did. Because he went up the mountain not to escape, from reality, but to know the presence of the Father, to hear his voice, so that he could then in turn give his presence to those around him and decipher the voices that he needed to respond to when he came down from the mountain. The secret place equips us for the public place. Just close your eyes for a second and just ask the Lord, where's my secret place? Does something about the way I withdraw need to change? Is there somewhere you want to meet me? So in the middle of this chaotic, busy kind of crowd, as Jesus comes down from the mountain, this man approaches Jesus. This is where we're going to pick up in the book of Matthew. He's a desperate man. I don't know if any of you have ever had a sick child. I'm sure if you've got a child, there's been an occasion where you've been worried about them. You've been concerned about something. And this man was desperate. He was desperate. His son, who continued to have seizures, needs a touch from Jesus. Just like the man standing on the edge of the Thames, it was like he was so desperate, he needed a touch from Jesus. But not only are we to hear about the physical condition of this boy, but we get an insight into the spiritual condition of the disciples, and that's where we're going to go. So Matthew chapter 17. And this is verse 14, and it says this. When it came to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and he suffers severely. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, Oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. When the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, Why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, Because of your unbelief. For as assuredly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, Move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. I avoid speaking or singing or ministering around things to do with healing because I have shifted so many times in my Christian walk on where I stand with certain things. Yes, I believe God is a healer. Yes, I have been healed. I've been healed of a mighty big disorder, but I've also been waiting and found in the mystery when my healing doesn't come. Who here has experienced both? I think yes. So there's this tension. So I avoid it because I'm Helen from Romford and I haven't been to theology college. And so I just avoid it. But the Lord told me this morning I had to bring it up. And I was like, no! So I'm praying that by his grace I can do what needs to be done as led by the Spirit. And Lord, if there's anything that comes out of me that's not of you, let it just melt away, and anything that's good, let it be established in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. My heart goes out to this father. And when I see people in the congregation here who are battling with similar things, you know, my heart goes out to you guys. I look at you as parents, I just think, oh, my heart, I don't know what I would do. I don't know how I could carry this weight. He was a parent of a child who had special needs in a day where there was no provision. There was no Facebook family link for people with the same problems. There wasn't, you know, there wasn't a specialist hospital. In fact, there was no medicine for it at all. And he had nothing. He had no infrastructure, no support mechanism, no specialized schools. They were just going it alone. He was desperate. Everyone say desperate. He'd brought his child to the disciples, believing they could help. And then he'd been disappointed. Have you ever been disappointed? If only he could get to Jesus. And then Jesus comes down off this mountain. I bet the relief was all over him. I remember there was one time with Olivia, my youngest child. She had a problem, a reoccurring problem. And we went to doctor after doctor after doctor. And they kept on giving us all kinds of runaround stuff. And then eventually we got a consultation with the consultant. She walked in, what had taken months to diagnose, she walked in and she asked Olivia one question. Olivia answered it. The diagnosis was given in 5 minutes, less than 5 minutes. So we've gone to the one who knows. And I can kind of remember that, and I remember the relief of like, somebody, thank you, Jesus. And it's just, I can just imagine his relief when Jesus arrives. We know what it's like to desperately cry out for our loved ones. Amen. I'm desperately crying out for my mum right now. You know her story. Desperate. I want to see her touched. I want to see her healed. I'm so grateful for your prayers, by the way. She's looking so much better than she should. and she's been on earth longer than she should, according to the doctor. So thank you. Keep praying, Lord. We want a total breakthrough. We like this, Father. We beg, we ask, we get down on our knees, we cry out, mercy, Lord, mercy. But despite the disappointments, all of the disappointments that we've encountered along the way, despite all that, Jesus, if he rocked up to Romford Marketplace right now, we would, each one of us, no matter what disappointments we'd experienced in the past, we would go to him, wouldn't we? But I want you to take a moment and just think, but do I still go for prayer for healing at the church when it's being ministered through disciples, through the followers of Christ? Do I still expect anything? Do I sometimes sit in my chair thinking, well, I've been there before, I've been for prayer before? Do you just sit on your chair? Just have a little think and ask the Holy Spirit, do I need to respond in a different kind of way next time that there's an altar call for prayer? I don't know. Think about it this way. Do you remember in Mark 2 when you've got the four people, they bring their friend to Jesus, the friend is paralyzed, and they rip off the roof of somebody's house and they lower their friend down to Jesus, right, for him to heal. They were that desperate, they took the roof off. How desperate are we? How far would we go if we knew that if we went to that place that we would be healed and that the person we brought would be touched by Jesus? How far would we go? The four men, they carried him. They carried the paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head. In Mark 5, we've got the woman with the issue of blood. She's so desperate. Despite all of the problems with the way society was, she broke every single rule, every single cultural custom, and she went anyway, and she made her way through the crowd so she could touch the hem of his garment. She needed a touch from Jesus. She needed Jesus to heal her. She'd been to every quack in the district. She'd spent all of her money. There was nothing left. She'd poured it all out in the wrong place. But when Jesus encountered that woman, she was healed, touched, restored. Do you know what? I really believe there's somebody in this room right now, and you're so lonely. And I believe this woman would have felt such loneliness, ostracized from the synagogue, deemed unclean for 12 years. No one wanted to be anywhere near this woman. She would have known what loneliness felt like. And in that moment, she was lonely no longer. If you're here today and you're lonely, the Lord wants to touch you today. How desperate are you today? So perplexing. Such a mystery that some people are healed today and some are still waiting. I want to draw your attention to this. Jesus is clearly frustrated with his followers in this passage and their inability to engage their faith effectively. He wasn't speaking to the child. He wasn't speaking to the father. He was speaking to the disciples. We've heard too many times that sickness or conditions due to a lack of faith. Who here's ever heard that? That you're still persevering with this because it's a lack of faith. He's not talking to the child. It wasn't anything to do with the child's level of faith or her dad's. It was to do with the disciples' lack of faith. It was to do with the followers of Christ's lack of faith. How is your faith bearing up this morning, saints? Because you're the followers, you're the disciples, you're the carriers of his glory. You're the ones who are supposed to be standing in the gap and praying for the sick. How's your faith? How's my faith? Oh God, how many times do I shrink back from praying into these situations? It's his disciples he's speaking to. How careful we must be as disciples of Jesus not to add to the burden of the sick by telling them that their disability or their depression or their sickness has come through their own lack of faith. Forgive us, Lord, if that's been what we've done. Forgive us, Lord. Jesus loves them so much. The last thing he would want to do was to add to their burden, add to their pressure. He loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. sound like Jesus to put pressure or burden. He said, my burden is light. My yoke is easy. Easy. Just close your eyes right now. If you're carrying a heavy burden, the weight of sickness, the weight of depression, the weight of disappointment, he wants to remove that heavy weighted burden from your shoulders right now. And he wants to replace it with a yoke of ease. Your neck can move, can see all around you. He wants to loosen all of that up in Jesus' name. Let him do it. Don't hold on to it. Let him do it. In Mark 9, Jesus turns to that father and he says that everything is possible for those who believe. And immediately the father exclaimed, I do believe, but help me with my disbelief. Let's say that together. I do believe, but help me with my disbelief. Now it's sunk in. Let's say it one more time. I do believe, but help me with my disbelief. That's my cry this morning. I do believe, but grace me, Lord, so I could trust you more, to know you more, to hear you more clearly, to be led by your Spirit as I pray. You know, Jesus transformed that child's life and the life of her dad. And he was so patient with the disciples. I mean, it was a bit of a frustration, kind of like, it was a bit of a harsh comment he made, but he treated them with patience, even though he challenged them to grow in their faith. He loved them, and there was relationship. He was like, come on, let's do this together. Let me show you how this is done. Let's walk together. The tiniest mustard seed of faith can move the biggest mountain. But with so little experience in exercising faith, when are we going to see the mountains move? Who here would like to exercise their faith this morning? Yeah, we want to exercise our faith, Lord. We want to seize every opportunity to exercise faith. I remember once I was in an office. I was doing some office work about 30 years ago, 25 years ago. I lose count. And the woman on my right, Kate, she had been unable to have a baby for years. About 4 or 5 years had been trying, and she was really upset about it one morning, and flippantly I just said, well, I pray you have that baby, and in 9 months that's going to come in Jesus' name. And I just carried on with my work, didn't think anything more of it. In fact, I said to her, I will pray that you will have a baby in 9 months. That's what I said to her. And then I felt really convicted, because she got pregnant and she had a baby in 9 months. But then I felt really bad, because I thought, but I didn't pray about it. And she was giving me all this credit. She was going, oh, Helen, you prayed for me and I had a baby. All these women at the council, at Barking and Dagenham Council, were coming to my office to sit on the chair so that I could do the same for them, right? And I was like, but I didn't even pray. But the Lord said, no, Helen, in that moment you did. You brought me into that moment. You know, I'm a simple person, do you know what I mean? I don't have all the formulas for stuff, but I'm simple. And I just me standing in that moment, I was a witness for Christ. So even me just saying, I'm going to pray for you, that you'll have that baby in 9 months, the Lord honoured even that. So it doesn't have to be all difficult, and you don't have to go to a seminary to work out how to do it. Yeah, it's just about being a witness for Christ in that moment. I was absolutely gobsmacked. And I thought, thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you do this. You're amazing. There was one time I was in Pakistan, didn't speak Punjabi, and I'd lost my translator in the crowd. And so all I knew to do was pray in tongues. So I put my hand on this woman. I prayed in tongues, had no idea what I'm praying for. I didn't have a clue. I was probably tired. I was jet lagged. I was just like, but something in my spirit must have engaged with what the kingdom wanted to happen, because she starts then getting all crazy. Everyone's getting crazy around her. I'm thinking, have I done something wrong culturally? Did I touch her with the wrong hand? What did I do? And the interpreter came and they said, no, she's just been healed. Her legs, she can use her leg. She couldn't use her right leg before. She can use it now. I didn't even know how to pray for her. I didn't even know what was wrong with her. But there's something about us opening our mouth and touching and just loving a person enough. We make it so complicated in our heads. We make it so complicated. Are you still with me? So let me remind you, my brothers, my sisters, that you must never get life... don't get life... Don't get life twisted. Don't think what's happening in your life is God. Life can really suck at times, amen? That's something we can all agree on. Life can be really tough, but don't get it twisted. That's not God. You know, God's in the midst of it all, and God is bringing you out, and God is doing stuff with you while you're in there. He's meeting you in your wilderness. He's doing all kinds of things. He's working it all out for your good and for your sake, because you love him and you're called according to his purposes. But don't get it twisted. Just because life is tough and demanding doesn't mean God is. God is not tough and demanding. He's light, and his burden is light. It is easy. It's peaceful. So don't confuse life with God. Don't confuse life with God. Just close your eyes. Is there any element and part of your life right now that you're confusing with God? And let him show you. Let him show you. And you'll say, yeah, that's... Don't confuse life and your circumstance with God. Because when you do that, when things are hard and when a bad thing happens, your faith will fail. God never fails. You know what, today in this room, some of us are on mountaintops and some of us are in valleys. And we probably wouldn't even know because we're so British. We are. How are you doing today? I'm fine. She's not. Like, see, if we could just be a bit more childlike, maybe we'd let our emotions out a bit and not be so worried that people know when we're up on the mountaintop or down in a valley. But the reason why we need to be so much more connected and close than we are right now is because it's so much easier to exercise our faith on a mountain. It's harder to exercise our faith in a valley at times. That's why we need each other. That's why we need each other. Sometimes people, when they're in the valley, they need somebody to step up. They need that person to come and lower them down through the roof. And sometimes when you're on a mountaintop, you've just got a better perspective. You've got the words of faith that somebody else needs. So we're going to trust and support each other in this season. Amen. Amen. You need each other much more than you know. We've got people coming into this church now. We've got people who are coming and maybe visiting, but I hope that they'll root themselves here. New people for us to connect with, to partner with on this journey. It's an exciting journey. So employ whatever faith you have, knowing that Jesus is patient, he's good. Whatever the visible outcome, he's good. He's good all the time. He's good. Thank you, Lord, that you did not stay in that heavenly mountain, but you chose to engage with our messy and difficult lives. Thank you, God, that you come down from glory and chose to meet us in our muddiness and our mess on earth. Thank you, Lord, that you left glory and you came to do life with us. And Father God, you offer us, Lord God, not just a friendship, not just salvation, but you offer us so much more than we've even begun to think or imagine. And Father, one of the things that we would really love for you to do is to help us with our unbelief this morning. And Lord, as we sing this song, it just says, let faith arise. I pray, Lord, that as we sing this song, that our faith would begin to rise and we would start to pray a different kind of prayer, that we wouldn't become those people who would choose not to pray in case nothing happens, but we will be people who will pray and pray and pray and earnestly pray and continue to pray, because Lord, we know that you are a healing God and you are alive and you are healing today. In Jesus' name, amen. So the Lord's going to do some work with us now. There's a few different things in there, and I don't know which one God is pinpointing for you. It could be that you're like the disciples and you just know that you feel inadequate in the area of your faith. And as we sing this song, really cry out to God to help you to fan your faith, to fan it and to exercise it and to give you opportunities to exercise your faith this week. Ask him to make you bold. Ask him to give you like a real boldness this week, that when somebody says to you, I feel ill, that you won't say, oh, have a paracetamol. I mean, offer him a paracetamol as well if you want, but at least say, I'm praying for you. you know, start to be brave. Start to be brave. I once taught at the Emmanuel School up the road, and it always shocked me. It was a school environment. But if a child came in and said they were sick, the first thing we would do is we would pray for the child. And if I came in sick and I'd say, oh, I've got a headache, the children, it was in their DNA then, they just all got around me, laid hands on me, and I got, my headache would lift, and then I could carry on with my day. I don't know, that was a DNA, that was a kingdom culture in that school, but how much more so should we have a kingdom culture like that here? Yeah, that when somebody says to you they're going through cancer, yes, we stand with them. Yes, we ask if they want hot meals brought round. Yes, we do all of the practical things as well. But we also continue to pray for healing. We pray for them to be radically healed, supernaturally healed in the name of Jesus. But we also pray, God, you want to use doctors and nurses. It's up to you, Lord. There may be somebody along the way that she's supposed to meet. So, Father, do your will. Have your way and have your way. Amen. But as the Spirit leads. So, would you stand with me? Yeah, yeah, come, Esther. That's really good. Okay, Esther has a word from the Lord. I believe it's the word from the Lord. And it's that some people know. Some people here just simply need a hug. And what I'd ask is for the prayer team, if Chris and the elders, if you could come down the front. And it may be that actually, yeah, that's you. You're lonely or you need a hug and you know that's what you need. Will you come down and you'll receive your hug? It could be that you feel that you need to be anointed with oil and that there's an area in your life that you just need a real breakthrough in. And so I'd love for you to come down as well, and we'll pray for you. We will anoint you with oil. And it could be that you just want to sing this song and you just want the Holy Spirit to do something in you, to gird you up, to make you stronger in faith, to help with your disbelief. But I'll tell you what, if you're standing in the gap for somebody today who has epilepsy, has seizures, has any kind of illnesses, please come. Let us pray for you. Let us lay our hands on you, even if it's for the 100th time. Amen. And those of you after this song who don't particularly engage with any of that, but you want to engage with people, then I want to tell you there's going to be refreshments at the back, and that's as spiritual as what we're doing down the front. Connect with each other, know one another, know each other's names, find out if they're on the mountaintop or in a valley, and ask if you can pray for them. Okay, so there's lots of different directives. Choose the one you want. Have you got it? Now, submit the one you want and ask the Holy Spirit, what one do you want me to do? Do you want me to go to the front to be prayed for? Do you want me to go to the front to be hugged? Do you want me to stand here and sing this song like I've never sung it before and just receive some empowerment from the Holy Spirit so that you would help my disbelief? Do you want me to go and have a cup of tea and meet somebody that I've never met before? Do you want me to ask them if they're on a mountain or in a valley? Ask him. I think you have the answer from the Holy Spirit now. So now we sing. And you move and have your being in Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let faith arise. Let faith arise. Just keep singing that. Let faith arise. Let faith arise. Just keep singing, let faith arise. Let faith arise. Beautiful. And again. Let faith arise. Oh, yeah, yeah. In spite. In spite of what I see, Lord, I believe. But help my unbelief, I choose to trust you. No matter what I feel, let faith arise. Let faith arise. In spite of what I see, Lord, I believe. My unbelief, I choose to trust you.
for the battle has been won. My God is faithful, and every single word he said is true.
Let's sing that again. Let faith arise. Let's see the kingdom come.
Let faith arise and see the kingdom come. I lift my eyes, for the battle has been won. My God is faithful, and every single word he said is true.
God of miracles, come.
Miracles come, I need your supernatural love
to break through,
to break through. Nothing's impossible, nothing's impossible. You're the God of miracles, yeah, yeah, God of miracles.
I want to just call on people who are standing in the gap for those who are addicted to drugs and addicted to alcohol, addicted to painkillers, any kind of addictions. If you want to stand in the gap for somebody else that's in, you know, in your circle of love, of family, of influence, if you could come forward, we want to pray for you. We want you to go away from here knowing that he breaks every chain, amen. So any kind of addictions, any kind of that kind of stuff, yeah, come forward. Stand in the gap for people and then try and see them as soon as you can and go and pray for them. Hallelujah. We can be praying for that at the same time as we sing.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear. Over fear and all anxiety,
because I know there is peace.
Because I know there is peace within your presence.
I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus
till every dark addiction starts to
till every dark addiction starts to break. Declaring there is hope and there is freedom.
I speak
Jesus.
And as the church, let's sing, your name is power.
Your name is power.
Your name is healing.
Name is healing.
Your name is life.
Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Break every strong. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. Burn like a fire.
I just want to sing the name Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus
till every dark addiction.
Every dark addiction starts to break.
Declaring there is hope and there is freedom.
Declaring there is hope and there is freedom.
I speak
Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is power. Your name is healing.
Oh, life, life.
Your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadow,
burn like a fire,
like a fire.
Shout Jesus from the mountain.
Shout Jesus from the mountain. Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus, oh, shout Jesus from the mountain, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness, oh, for every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Oh, yes, your name is power, your name is healing. Oh, your life, your name is life. Break every storm, break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, help me with my unbelief. Just sing that over yourself. Lord, help me with my unbelief. Oh, yeah, yeah. Sing it again. Lord, help me with my unbelief. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Lord, help me with my unbelief. Maybe put your hand on your head, speak to your mind and say, Lord, help me with my unbelief. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Lord, help me with my unbelief. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, help me. Lord, help me with my unbelief. I want to live for your glory. I want to live for your glory. Hallelujah. Lord, help us this morning with our unbelief. Thank you for the faith that we have. But Lord, if there's anybody in this room right now and they have never ever given themselves to trusting and believing on you, Jesus Christ, I pray that you would prepare them right now to receive you as their Lord and Savior. Are you here this morning and you know that you want Jesus to come and be a part of your life, but you've never surrendered your life to Jesus? If you are here this morning, we want to say to you, well done. We're so glad you're here. You're in the right place at the right time. This is the day of salvation. You see, the Father sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for you, for your sin, for all of your falling short, for all your mess ups. And he died gladly that he would be able to take the weight of your sin and pay the price for you. He bled and died on that cross for you so that today you could say, I want to have a relationship with God through the sacrifice of his Son, Jesus. I know I can't have a relationship with God any other way but by Jesus. So I surrender my heart to you right now and I acknowledge you, Jesus, as the Son of God. I acknowledge that you died on a cross for me. And I receive that gift that I would be a son, I would be a daughter of God, that I would be part of this family, that I would be connected with all these people, all these crazy, wonderful, different kinds of people, some on mountaintops, some in valleys, but Lord, we're family. I want to be part of that. And so, Father, as I surrender my life to you, would you fill me with your Holy Spirit? And would you give me grace so that I can turn from my old ways and walk into your arms? Take my sin as far as the east is from the west. What a relief that must feel for you this morning. Just breathe him in and allow all of the dirt and the mud and the mess of the past to be released and taken away from you. A heavy burden and a heavy weight lifted, and a light yoke of ease replacing. If that's you this morning, we welcome you.
And if you've just made that decision, I want to tell you that we are about to raucously applaud you. But it's nothing compared to what's going on in heaven right now. Amen. Before we do this, so are you ready? So imagine somebody in this room has just come to faith. That person doesn't want to necessarily be known right now, but I'd love for them to come forward at the end while everyone's leaving. I think they feel shy, and I feel like the Holy Spirit doesn't want us to call them out. So you come and see Pastor Glenn afterwards, but I want you after three to react and respond to an act of salvation in this room. Are you ready? One, two, three.
Welcome home. Welcome home. Welcome home. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You're so welcome. Please become part of our fellowship. Become part of us. But if you don't like us, go somewhere else. Go to another church. But I think we're pretty cool. We're not a perfect church. But we love Lord Jesus. And we love the Word of God. And we love them. Molly has something to share.
Yeah, actually, just...